Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined tonight, as always, by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
What is up? I'd like to take the time to thank our sponsor, Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com and use code WH, you can save 10% on all your power carving burrs and discs and all your needs covered. That'll help us out. They were at Maker Camp last weekend, I guess 2 weekends ago now, right? As this comes out. But they were there showing everyone. We actually met Jody in person, which was cool.
Cool. I didn't realize who I was meeting.
Yeah. That's the boss.
Nice.
But no, they were good. They killed it in the tent this year. I told them that I got a lot of positive response on people who got to try power carving.
Hmm.
For the first time there, they're like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. They kept telling me, I'm like, are you telling the people who are running the booth? Like, who am I? You know? But it's obvious that it's always easy to tell people, oh, yeah, you're doing a great job when you're face-to-face. But the amount of positive response I got from their booth, it was cool to hear. I never got over there because, you know, we're busy, they're busy.
I kind of pushed myself to get over there because I can't do it here, or I'm not set up to do it here. Not that I can't, but and I went over and Tiff helped me out pick out a project, and it was a lot of fun. I'm impressed by them. I was like, I'm so used to, like, I don't know, some of the, like, the metal style burrs that you'll get will be dull really quick, and I understand it's kind of apples to oranges, but they're still burrs to burrs, I guess. And it was really easy to get that project underway. I mean mine's pretty low grade, but it's a usable spoon at this point.
That's awesome. Very cool.
It was fun, and I was well under an hour. I don't think I would have been much more than half hour, maybe 45 minutes, and I got something that was I was happy with at the end.
Awesome.
So I will take the moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives. Jeez, I got to read the script here.
Do you have a script?
I have a script. And that's bad as that sounds.
Getting old, Tony, getting old.
I know. So your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. I always want to say it the same way every time. So save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. So yeah, it was good to see him again this year. Didn't see him a lot. Looked like he had some fun with Dennis Tyrell. He was walking around impersonating Dennis, so I didn't even realize. I saw
they're
him
like
on
twins. They're brothers, yeah, or something.
I saw him on Friday night, and he was in a Dennis Tyrell shirt, and it didn't even clue in. He had that, you know, how Dennis has the shark or whatever on the shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
He,
yeah.
That's what he had for a shirt on. And I was like, I walked up and said hello. And he's like, yeah, I'm up here impersonating Tyrell. And I was like, what do you mean? And I looked at the shirt and I was like, oh, damn it. Yeah. totally whiffed on the shirt. But yeah.
Lawrence is a good dude. He's one of those guys that you want to buy from just because he's so easygoing and just a good dude.
And he takes the time to, like, especially for us Canadian makers, like, if you can make a case for an item for him to have, if you can make a business case for him, he'll generally pick it up. There's very few things I've seen that he hasn't picked up. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, he's good.
He's just an amazing guy. But yeah, go to maritime.com or .ca, depending on where you're at, and pick up all your maker supplies there.
Yes. Remember our 2 days to Texas.
Yeah, 2 days to Texas. Fast shipping. He's like Amazon. He really is. I don't know how he ships everything out as fast as he does.
Yeah.
But we had a busy weekend. It was our first time recording since the main event, the Super Bowl of Makers that we call Maker Camp.
Yeah.
And at that event, we have our little sideshow called the Maker Swap. And I thought it went brilliantly this year. Everyone showed up with some fantastic items.
Yeah, we ended up with 167, I believe, was the final count.
Yeah, there was some nice stuff in there, too.
Yeah.
thank you all to all of you who participated. I hope you had a good time. I hope you put in what something you were proud of, and I hope you're happy with what you got. What'd you wind up with?
I have a leather tool bag from Smiling Wolf, Noah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So he
wait, you got something from Noah? I got something from Noah.
What?
But mine was from Noah Fishon.
Oh,
am I saying that right? Fishon?
Close enough.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
I got a mini chef's knife.
Yeah, that was cool. I liked that when I saw that come across the table.
There were some wild things on that table.
Yeah, there's just too many to even comprehend, because there was, it was a lot of good stuff. People brought their A game.
They really did. It was pretty impressive. I am, we had Patsy Dobbs help us out this year, she became our social media manager, as I like to call it. And she was going around taking photos for us because we don't have time to do it. I mean, I'm sure there's downtime in between, but while we're collecting everything, she was taking photos. She took photos of some of the items. So we actually have stuff for this year, which I'm very excited about. I have not put a reel out yet because, I work a full-time job and haven't taken a few days off from for Maker Camp. I was kind of busy this week. So by the time this airs, you'll be able to go to our page and see some reels and photos that we'll post up there. But thank you, Patsy. If you want to find Patsy and give her a thanks on all the coverage she gave us, it's Dobbs Design Co., all one word, on Instagram. She's got YouTube and all that stuff too. So check her out. Thank you, Patsy.
Yeah, thanks, Patsy. Yeah, Patsy. Jeez. Tongue-tied
today. You're in a rough go today. Maybe you need to have a beer and relax a little bit.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I don't want to start listing off all the projects. One, because I don't remember them all. We don't track them. We don't write them down. We don't know who gave what. We could talk about some of the major items, but I was very impressed with what came across that table this year.
Yeah, I definitely am in the same boat. That I thought last year was great. And this year just knocked it out of the park in comparison.
Yeah. We got quite a few people said it ran better this year. No one ever said it ran bad the other year. So I know internally between Tony and I, we knew that we needed a little bit of help. But last year, Smitty, my wife, came and she watched the way we run it. And she had some ideas. And we put them into place this year. And it ran way better. Everything went perfect. I feel like it just worked this year.
Yeah, I mean, we did institute a bit of a numbering system on tickets so that we didn't give anybody their own item back.
Yeah, that was nice. So we didn't have that to was deal big,
because not having to do it, because that did happen last year, so we didn't want that to happen again.
But yeah, it was still good.
Yeah.
During the actual giveaway portion, we do have some help. And we even had a little bit of security this year, which was nice. We got to actually walk away when everything was on display, which was awesome. Some people really stepped up, took time away from their time at camp to help us. So aside from Patsy, we would also like to thank these folks. We had everything laid out. We wanted to take a little lunch break. So they came over and made sure that nobody walked away with an item or picked it up and broke it or what have you. So we'd like to send a special thanks for them. And then they also helped us with the giving out of all of the items. And that's Brad of Brad's Customs, or just Brad, depending on which podcast you listen to. He helped us maintain order with people not coming into the back when we were distributing numbers, and just keeping people in line and order and telling them which way they had to go and stuff like that to keep everything running smoothly. So thank you, Brad. And then our main head players in the distribution part were KJ of, what's her, KJ McGuire, and Tom, Ivy Woodworks.
Ivy Side, I believe.
Ivy Side Woodworks, but they each have their own accounts too. I know Tom is Tom McGuire NJ.
Yeah, and KJ is KJ McGuire NJ as well.
KJ McGuire and Jay. Christy Steinman of Twisted Twine Woodworking and Christy Steinman CPA. She has two accounts as well. And then Emmett of Dead Rise Woodcrafts also helped us. So thank you all. We really do appreciate you guys taking your time at camp to help us, as well as I'm sure all the people who participated in the swap were happy that you guys helped it run real smooth. So thank you all.
Yeah, no, it was great. And really appreciate all the help.
And our main helper, Smitty of Eastpoke Studios. She's there through everything, all the taking of orders. She helped us organize everything. So thank you, Smitty. And thanks for keeping me sane, because I get a little crazy every now and then.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, it was good. It was a bit of a blur in some ways.
Yeah, but that's part of the chaos. That's fun.
Yeah, speaking of chaos, I managed to misfire the t-shirt cannon at one point. You missed it.
In the tent, right?
Just beside the tent. So when we were about to start, we were going to fire a shirt off, because the lineup was all the way back to where the fire pit was. So that was across the entire yard. And I was like, I don't need to really load this one up. I put 40 pounds in it. But whatever happened, 40 turned to 20 pretty quick for some reason. I don't know if the valve passed or something. And anyways, I pulled the trigger, the shirt left the barrel only the length of the shirt, and then came back down to the ground. It just barely cleared the barrel. And then so I'm standing there looking like a fool, having to pump it back up. And I put it to 80 this time, because I'm like, well, if it leaked, then it'll leak back some, and then I'll still have enough to launch it. And it still held 80 by the time I pulled the trigger. And I was like, oh.
Well, you got to turn the valve. It opens and closes the valve. Let the air out the back.
No, I did all that. I don't know what. I don't
you
know
didn't
what,
break my cannon, did you?
No. We used it after that. It was just for some reason on that one. Plus, I
on the main stage with everyone staring at Tony fire off a t-shirt.
I was trying not to launch it right to the, back to Terra Hall kind of thing. I was trying to keep it inside the pavilion.
What you should have done was put three t-shirts in and loaded it all the way up and then fired them up into the air. Yeah. Just let them scatter everywhere.
Yeah. No, that was fun though. Yeah, we didn't use a cannon very much this year.
No, and part of that was we didn't have that open field that the burn is normally in, where people are walking across in groups. So and the rain on Saturdays when we would have done it. So
yeah, it was good fun though. I enjoyed not having the burn there because of the space that it allowed for, and then the fireworks show that the Handles put on.
Amazing.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty impressive.
I don't think I've seen cities put on fireworks. It was comparable to what cities would put on for us, a Canada Day or something like that.
Yeah, it went on for longer than I thought it would. It was good.
Yeah, it was
very cool. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about camp, but the swap I want to focus on. I do want to thank everyone for putting in all their skills and effort. It's an honor to see some of the things that come across the table for a little idea we had. So thank you. I believe we're doing it again next year. So now you have 52 more weeks or 51 more weeks to get your item done. Corey, I'm calling you out. It's more than one day's notice. I know you'll be back. So you could start your maker swap item and not tell everyone I only gave you one day to complete it. So... yeah, we're going to do it. Show off your skills. You should bring pride. I was talking to Chris Dubois today. I went over to Willard Brothers, and it was his first time doing the swap. We were talking about all of the – he put in a box of all different stuff that he makes, and we were talking about what goes in. And he's like, it's kind of like a gift to another maker. And I was like, oh, that's a good way to put it. He's like, you really want to put your heart and soul into it and, it's a gift that you're giving another maker. So when you're thinking about your item for next year, think about that. Think about what you want to put in. We want to see some skills shown, some effort put in. So, what do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I've already got, that sums it up really well. A gift to another maker. I think I have an idea already. I had an idea leaving camp last year, and I think I've got an idea leaving camp this year. So,
well, I don't want to jump the gun on you, Tony, but I've already ordered some material for my swap item for next year.
Oh, no, I can't do that till like,
I know,
like at least like August.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I'm going to start my swap item soon. I'm trying to have it finished before Make What You Fear.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I feel like mine's going to take a few attempts before I get it right. So we'll see.
Good, 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 good. But let's talk about camp now. It was good.
The end. It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of other podcasts have already talked about it, you know. Makeshift did an episode. I'm sure there's others out there that will talk about it.
Yeah. Work For It talked about it as well.
Work For It. I got a new nickname from Work For It podcast. Yes. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
I am now Hunter S. Thompson. I'm no longer Ben Stein. So,
Is that an upgrade?
I didn't say it was an upgrade. I said okay. I got an updated, nickname.
Okay.
If I said upgrade, I meant updated. I don't know if it's better.
No, I'm asking that. I don't think you said that. I'm just asking if you think it was an upgrade.
I do love the old Hunter S. Thompson comparison, though, so that's interesting. But yeah, thank you, Brian. I did get to meet Brian House in person. You met him too, right, Tony?
Yes. Yeah. No.
He's a solid dude. He's as solid as he is on the internet in person. He's a good guy.
Yeah, it was interesting to meet him. I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't sure if he's going to be like the over the top guy that he can be in the podcast sometimes, or if he was going to be who he is. Like, you know what I mean? So
he's exactly as I expected.
Yeah. No, I found him really good.
Yeah.
It takes some cojones to take a new product and then just let the wilds work on it. So
yeah,
I appreciate
He had never been to Maker Camp before, so he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna throw my forge in there. It's like,
yeah,
good for you.
I think he had four or six of them. It was quite
four,
a few.
I believe.
And
he had four. Yeah, I think he brought four to the thing, and then he had either five or six for sale there.
Yeah, yeah. There was some discounts to be had if you were there. But yeah, I got talking to him about that forge, and that thing it instantly made me make some changes on mine.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very close to what he has, but the blower that he uses is, I get the stats on it, says it's 50 decibels is the running noise of it. So it's going to make my shop way quieter. So that's
one
of the big reasons I got it. And then it also, you have the ability to put in a fuel shutoff solenoid.
Okay.
And that's going to elevate the safety of my forge. So I'll be, it'll just make things safer for me.
I just spilled beer all over the place.
Yeah. So anyways, not to derail our conversation like I did last week and then I got yelled at.
No, I didn't yell at you.
No, Smitty did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the comments.
Yeah. But no, getting back to the forge, I didn't personally use it. Not that I'm a judge of character, but it is kind of cool to see that your Make What You Fear challenge is what prompted that whole thing to be in existence.
Yeah, that was wild.
That thing was born right here on Working Man's podcast.
Yeah, he told me that, and I'm like, wow, that was impressive that's where that came from. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, he was razzing me a bit because he's like, and I didn't even win. It's like, well,
I know.
You know, that's funny to me.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. I appreciated talking to him. Seems like he's some good ideas for next year. So it'd be cool to see that come to fruition.
Yeah. Yep. He's definitely an idea guy. But yeah, other things that happened at Maker Camp, other than who we met, I did get into the timber frame project, which was good. They did it Friday, so I could get in on it. I was happy about that.
Yeah, that was cool. See, it went up fast. I was not expecting
under
it.
Like 4 hours.
Like, I mean, after Ed broke that pin, I figured it would have taken him forever to get that fixed.
Yeah, I broke a pin. I broke a pin too. It's just not on camera.
Yeah, no. Sorry, Ed. Just had to bring that one up again.
Man,
it was only like six of us standing around watching him while he did it.
Yeah, and all of us had our cameras out, so
yeah.
There's different angles of it.
Multiple angles. Yeah. Oh, that was cool to see that go up. Because the last 2 years, it was always kind of away because my room's in Terra Hall, so I was walking back and forth past it, so I saw all the goings on. But with the pavilion, for Aaron that they did on the front side of the duck pond, and then the bridge that they did on the duck pond, they were kind of out of the way, and I didn't really see what they were up to this year. It was a little bit more of where I could see it. So it was cool.
Yeah. I'm just amazed at how fast it goes together. Glad to be a part of it.
Mm. Yeah. No, it was awesome to see.
But if you weren't there, get there. Maker Camp. It's an experience. It really is. There's so much going on. So many people networking, good times, fires, making, it's funny because over the past week or so, ever since camp ended, I keep hearing people being like, oh, what is Maker Camp? And they're trying to explain it. How would you explain it? Did you see Alabama Papa Chad? He did that like 12-minute reel explaining Maker Camp.
No, I know who, I remember seeing him, but I don't know if I saw the reel. I'll have to look that up.
He's working on something in his shop and he's just talking and he's like, everyone asked me what Maker Camp was before I got there. And he's like, well, I didn't really know. And no one really had a good way to explain it. And then he's like, after having been there, Maker Camp is. And then he goes through like this thing and he just keeps giving like different examples of different things that happen at Maker Camp. And it's pretty cool to hear his take on it. But it got me thinking about what Maker Camp is. And I did a little write-up on it. I'm like, it's kind of like a butterfly effect, right? It's more than just what happens at camp. I mean, this podcast started from camp, right?
Mm,
there's a ton of friendships that are made at camp. There's businesses that begin at camp. There's, skills are made at camp. Like, as a woodworker, I don't know that I ever would have looked into blacksmithing if it wasn't for camp, right? Like, medium crossovers, and it's more than just going there, having a good time, having some beers with some friends of yours from the internet, you know?
Just, yeah, and things like Max and Justin with Camp Arrowhead, like how many times in your lifetime are you going to be able to try like making an arrowhead?
Never.
And then now we've got, I think there's, I've talked to four or five different people that say they're thinking of it as like a, almost like a pastime, just like a hobby, something to pick up every now and again and just pick away at. That was kind of cool.
Right. I mean, I've tried things since, like, I now do a little bit of blacksmithing in my house. I would never call myself a blacksmith, but like a little hobby. I got a forge, an anvil.
Yeah.
I do it here, you know? I mean, there's all these different things, but it's more than that. You know, there's networking that happens there. Like, it's hard to explain to somebody who's never been what it is. And I'm going to go with the butterfly effect. Like, Maker Camp is bigger than a 3-day weekend is what I mean.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you take the group of us on Clubhouse, there's a group of, I don't know, 30 or 40 people total. I mean, there's a kind of a core group of, say, 10.
Right.
But then there's another group outside of that, or not really outside. They're still part of the group, but they come in less. And we're all still, like, in that camp state of mind in a way. So,
yeah.
But those are all, a lot of those are friendships that have developed at camp too. Like there's very few of those people in that group that we haven't seen in and met in person. Like,
yeah. Or aren't planning on going there to meet everyone in person.
Yeah. There's still camps to come. So get your rear ends there. Yeah. I wish I could remember. I don't know. Were you in the tent, in the blacksmith tent when it was me and Chris? And House was there. Actually, yeah, you were there for a bit when we were working on the poker.
Okay.
And House said something. And I don't want, not that I don't want to bring it up, but it, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something along the lines of, it's one of those moments you feel like you're in the presence of something great. And that's what he, I'm kind of ad-libbing what he said, because I don't know exactly, I don't want to quote him exactly because I don't remember. But it was amazing to see a first-timer show up and then see that and make that statement, or make a statement like that, you know, within a few hours of being there, kind of thing. Because we were in, it might have been, I think that was Saturday night, because it didn't rain while we were doing that. So it rained on Friday night and shut us down too.
It was Saturday night, because that was when Chad was there.
Yeah, and we're all standing in the corner there.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Chris were working on the fire poker that Mike from Big Bear had started.
I didn't realize that's what that was. I just knew you guys were working on something.
Yeah, so that ended up being a project with, I think there was 5 or 6 different smiths that worked on it.
Yeah.
To make a fire poker that matched the 6-foot fire pit. So
that's awesome.
She's a big boy. But yeah, no, that was cool to, when he said that, like just the group of like-minded individuals, like it's something special. I mean, not everyone that was in that those forges were smiths. Like everybody was like coming from a place of a maker where they wanted to try something new and experiment with what they were doing. So it was cool.
I mean, I bet you could go to Maker Camp as a non-maker. And Matt from Injury Makes is probably an example, right? He went last year, and now he's kind of assimilated himself into the maker community, even though he's not a prolific maker, right? Now he's starting to make things.
Yeah.
I bet you could go there and feel just as accepted as if you were a maker and going there and other people knew who you were. Like, I don't think you have to be a maker to go there and figure out what Maker Camp is. But
no. No, I think you have to
go to figure it out. Like, there's no way to really describe it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a fun experience. I've never felt anything like it. I've been around a while, so.
it's an experience. It's cool. It's a lot of fun. Everyone's cool there, you know, with the exception of a few. 90% of the people are awesome.
Yeah. Well, I still didn't throw them in the duck pond, so.
Oh, okay. Maybe next year. There's always next year. The duck pond was deep this year. Would have been the year to throw them in.
It was.
All that rain we had.
It was. I was over during the regatta, and there was somebody up. I don't know how tall he is, but he was basically up to his shoulders in water.
Really?
Not much to be seen by the time he was out in the middle of the pond.
So if you don't know, if you haven't been following along with social media, we got rained on pretty good on Saturday. More rain than you would think. There was rivers going through the field where Maker Camp happens.
Yeah, there was, I mean, that was, I wouldn't call it 100 years rain, but it was a lot of rain.
I wonder what the rainfall total was. Do you know?
No, I don't. I'm going to guess it was, you know, inches per hour kind of thing.
Yeah. But it was, it's all part of the experience, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, I kind of liked what the rain did, because it kind of put the brakes on for Saturday, and it just kind of chilled out. You still saw like, that pavilion was still hopping. Like everybody just kind of ducked in underneath the rain, got out of the puddles and stuff. Like the tents were filling up with water. So it was, you know, just because of the lay of the land. But like it thinned out, but there was still probably 100-150 people in that pavilion that were just shooting the shit, having a good time, laughing, joking. I can't remember the gentleman's name that did the, it was in the metal. In the metalsmithing, like the silversmithing tent with Kurgis. I think he had brought his copper forming stuff over, and they were doing stuff. You could hear hammers tinking away on that lighter stuff over in the corner. They were making like copper leaves and things of that nature.
Right.
So people were still having fun, and I think someone said Patty's tent never shut down until like it kept going all all of Saturday. They got lucky in where they were at. So,
yeah, I heard there was a bunch of tents that never shut down.
Yeah.
We went in our tent. I mean, nobody brought over many swap entries on Saturday because they want them out in the rain. But to give you guys an idea, our tent, which was not the most flooded, was I was standing in water over my ankles in a field that's on a hill. So there's a lot of water.
Yeah, there's a lot of water.
They found crayfish in the field that night and the following day. That's how much water we had.
And
I don't even know where the nearest stream is, but I know there's one down the hill.
Yeah,
but
it's down
the
hill.
Up the hill?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure. It's kind of weird.
Anyway, it was a lot of rain, like a lot of rain. And it didn't break anyone's spirit, I don't think. I mean, I wasn't as apt to want to do everything that day, but I just hung out with people. I decided I'm just going to go around meeting people, hanging out with friends and stuff. So that's what I did.
Yeah, that's basically all I did that day too. Kind of put a damper on my plans to like get to more classes, which I did end up getting to two. Well, yeah, two, no, three things. I did three things this year on top of like swap stuff and just going into the smithing tent, playing around there. So,
which is that's a class in itself, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
even
you
are just an open forge, you're always learning something from somebody next to you.
Well, that's the thing. Like Bob is very good with giving out advice. And then with the addition of Jason and Trevor, well, you got Jason, Trevor, and Sam. And then who's the other? Oh, Steve from Hay Button.
Yeah.
So Jason has been on the podcast, Dark State Forge. Trevor of Dusty Squeaks. Sam, I have Sam, I just can't think of it right now. And then Bob Menard is Ball and Chain Forge. But yeah, those guys knocked it out. Had it set up this year, so they were able to really cycle through and have some time to themselves. So they weren't like in years past, like just doing nothing but like who's next, who's next, who's next, and bringing people in to do the project. So Sam is _ Scald, Scald. That's his handle on Instagram. So he was a young man that worked primarily with Bob. And then you had Jason and Trevor were the other two that were the other team. And then Steve of Hay Button handled at least one of the evening sessions, if not a couple. I'm not sure, but I remember going over to him. I was doing something. I was bumming tools. I just go over and ask him, can I steal this? Can I steal this? He was very gracious to allow me to allow tools to walk with me to another end of that tent to finish up a project. So he's a good guy. Then my other project I did was I went up to Green Street Boys and I did their picture frame project, which has now got a home. I believe that Lil is taking it for her office, which I'm cool with. I wanted it to be a gift, so I figured she would take it. So
good.
And then the spoon I did, and then that was with Tiff and the bunch in the Sabretooth tent. And then what was the other one? Oh, and then Max and Justin were good enough to open up their tent on Sunday evening.
Sunday after the fireworks, we went up.
Yeah, after the fireworks, we sat down and.
I was spent by the time we sat in there. I couldn't get anything to work for. I was just so frustrated. It's hard. It's not easy to do.
No, it's
anyone
definitely,
who left there with an arrowhead, I commend you. That's some hard stuff.
Yeah. Once I figured out the way they were talking about working the stone, I'm still foggy on. Like I couldn't sit down and do it again without, you know, some instruction, but I'm happy with my project in the end, and you could tie that onto the end of a bow or a arrow shaft, and you could do some damage with it.
I was struggling, and then I realized I hadn't eaten yet. So I went to go get something to eat, and I came back, and Max comes out, and he's like, I'm done. I'm like, thank God, I didn't want to go back in.
Yeah. No, that was fun. We had some good laughs with those guys.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They really
Max, are. Max trying to break that stone, and then it just completely...
Justin busting his balls the whole time. Yeah. Was fantastic.
Yeah. They're a good pair. They're like a Statler and Waldorf type. They enjoyed...
But you know, they've been together the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Teaching each other. They drove up together, like 16-hour drive. Then they're together all weekend in the same room, and yet they're still just having a good time. It's like, eventually you'd think they want to rip each other's throats out, but I guess not.
No, they seem to...
Southern hospitality reigns true. Yeah. They're still having fun. And I was like, man.
Yeah, those are two good guys. So we're going to have those guys back on again, too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It was fun. I did timber framing. I did the Evan Watson engraving. I didn't get to the Matt Stagmer engraving. That's my fault.
Yeah, I think that was
the Evan Watson class, and that was amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see. It was even funner because Stagmer was there with him. well, not with him, kind of behind him, watching, judging, razzing.
Yeah, and then he's like, you make this look easy. No one's going to want to try my way.
I was kind of sorry I missed the Stagmer one too. That would have been, it would have been interesting to see the contrast between, you know, the old way and the new way.
Right. So. I did the flint napping. I watched the pottery guy. That was interesting.
Yeah, like I saw
Reiki, that Reiki kiln or whatever.
Yeah. So I saw, is it Tanda?
Yeah.
Tanda. Yeah. That was on the motorcycle.
No, it's Oma. Oma's on the motorcycle.
No, not that motorcycle. The one that drove from New Mexico to camp and back.
Oh, is that what the Moto Guzzi was?
No, she's on a Honda. Why am I drawing a blank on her? I apologize. I should know this. I think it is Tanda.
Makes sense. She's from New Mexico or Arizona or something.
Yeah, Tanda Madison. She she drove from New Mexico up and then back. She just posted.
She posted what?
She just posted she just posted the kiln, a video of that. So if you want to go see that, it's Tanda Madison on Instagram. She posted a video of it. It's pretty cool. I'm kind of sorry that I missed it. It looked pretty cool.
It was cool. And then they dunk it in water and then the color comes out. I don't know the specifics of it, so I missed the beginning of it, but it was wild to watch in person.
Yeah, watching that video was pretty good because it was like they pull it from the kiln and they don't immediately dunk it. They bring it out, cool it for a certain amount of time. Like, I'm sure there's something that they're looking for, some sort of condition, and then they put it to the water after. But it's still hot. Like, there's still steam rolling as they're dunking it, so... Yeah, there was so much going on there. Like the Broadbeck tent, they had Mareko Mamasi did a kind of like a math class on figuring out volumes for domestic patterns. And then Jay Nielsen, who was there from Forge and Fire, he did a canister class. So that was cool. I attended the Damascus one, just happened to be around when somebody walked through the tent and said, hey, Mareko's doing this. So I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. So I went over and listened for a while. And then I happened to walk by when Jay was doing his class, but it wasn't really good time for me. So I just kept on moving. But it was kind of cool to see him teaching and then had a good 30 people plus there standing, listening to every word. So it was kind of neat to see.
It's all cool. I mean, we can't go over everything here, but everything at camp is cool.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot of fun.
It's pretty wild.
I have to apologize again to Curtis, who I apologized to in person this time. I went over on Friday. And I'm like, when's your first class? She's like, 4:00. I'm like, perfect. I'll be over at 4:00. Then I realized we started the swap at 5. So I can't be the, if her class runs over the hour.
You could.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to.
You could have texted me and been like, I'm still in class. I'll be over in a minute. I would have been like, okay, no problem.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to do that. So anyways, that was the only time I got over to talk to her. But then I met up again with her in the, she was landed in the blacksmith tent on Sunday night and talked to her there for a bit, you know, told her, apologize for being a bad student, but I'll get there someday.
Yeah. If she does another class in the winter, you should take it. It's a fun class.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2.5 days of silversmithing is a lot of fun.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I have to apologize to anyone from Maker Camp. I probably do because I'm running around. But I do want to thank Brandon. Gave me a nice gift this year of Echo Mountain.
Oh, Echo Mountain yes. Yes. Echo Mountain Crafts and BCK Knives.
Yeah. It is an amazing gesture. He gave me a chef's knife, and I am floored by it. I still... I don't know how to thank him. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I'll mention it here.
I'm jealous.
I am stoked on it. I have not used it yet. I'm a little afraid, but I will put it to use. It's not going to be a wall hanger. But yeah, it is. It's amazing. So thank you. I'm going to post pictures about it soon. As soon as I take some photos of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I was trying to see if that knife is in his feed, and it is.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a picture from June 25th.
Send me that photo while you're on it. It's it's unbelievable. So thank you. It was a surprise.
Yeah, it's a good dude.
I did
his daughter is a rock star. That girl was having an awful. She was having not an awful. She was having an awful good time. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. She's cool.
Yeah.
She was one of my favorite new meets this year.
Yeah. Yep,
David Weideman showed up all the way from California. And Joanna. David and Joanna. You David know them from our patron list.
Yeah.
Man, what a couple they are. How awesome are they?
Oh, I mean, yeah, they were great. Stopped, talked 3 or 4 solid times. It was they're a solid couple. A lot of fun. Yeah,
a lot of fun. There's a lot of new people I met, and it's one of those things. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun. I don't remember everyone's name, and I can't begin to mention everyone's name, so don't feel like I'm not saying, oh, it was great to meet you. You know, it's just a lot of names that you find when you're there. It's a good time.
Yeah, it's a lot of names, and it's a lot of old faces that you want to see because this is, like, the only time you're going to see them all year, so.
Yep.
It's a good group. Really good group.
Yeah. 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 I bet a lot of people that we're happy to see are in the Patreon list, right, Tony?
Yeah, I think there was a few on this list that were at camp.
Well, let's hear them out.
All right. One that we don't always like seeing every year, but it's Corey of Odyssey CNC.
I have a bone to pick with Corey after this Patreon list, by the way.
Okay, we'll deal with that. And then we have Christy of Twisted Twine. Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Designs by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Wood Finery, which I have to say, Nick, congrats. He just got married.
Congratulations, Nick.
This weekend. So, yeah. And Lil was there to take the photo, so it was kind of cool. And then our top tier, we have Eastboke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of Maritime Knife Supply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative, Brian Housewort of Workfort Podcast, Artigino Sorio, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna of Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, who did make an appearance this year.
Yes.
Man, this list
it's
is
great
full
to
of
see
people.
Chad.
It was good to see him. Good to see the whole family, too. He had everybody with him. And then we have Ryan of Gnome Hammer Forge, who I should, you know, thank for the beautiful hammer that he made for me that I now have.
Beautiful sledge.
I will put that to work here soon enough. Then we have David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Due Construction, and Daniel in Drizzy, last but not least. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all. Like
90% of that list was at camp.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Fantastic. But Corey on his podcast with Chris had on the Grant Alexander.
Yes.
And they were crapping on our episode last week. And they still don't understand how what the definition of word is. Because they're arguing it. Apparently they're a little sensitive and are upset the fact that a 3D printer is not your skill. But we'll have to have Corey on to debate it. But
yes, I feel like there's a few people that we should have debate that one. We've had a few comments.
We've had a few comments and a few people who were a little sour on that. So it's interesting.
Yeah,
A lot of people that agree with me too, though. So,
well, we're not out to sour people. It's more just to have conversation. But
But let me just clear up what I meant. I started the whole conversation by all the people that say, if I had that tool, I could make that too, right?
Right.
And then I said, well, the only tool I feel that rings true with is a 3D printer, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a laser, depending on what the project is with the laser. But I think a 3D printer still holds true for that statement. And then we got down the thing of whether or not it was a skill. And then I said, well, it's not really a skill. It's more of a knowledge. And that's what upset people.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've thought about this one for a while, and I can't really put my finger on it. Because there's also things like, because they brought up about the, if you just got anybody off the street to come in and start making with like his Cyclone.
Right.
But
that's not the argument. The argument is that there's an existing item that say, I don't know, Frank, because I don't know too many Franks in this community, but right. So let's just say Frank Bonaducci, right, has a 3D printer.
Bonaducci.
And Frank Bonaducci has a 3D printer and he prints something, right?
Right.
And I don't know a different name. So I'm just going to go with John Smith says, I can make that too if I had that tool, right? He could.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
the question is not there. There's no skill then for Bob to make what Frank made on a different 3D printer if he had that same tool. That's not a skill. It's not a skill. If I give Frank, who's never worked with tools with his hands before, and say, build a box off these plans with conventional tools, and you give it to Frank, who has done it, they're going to be very different items, right?
Yes.
But when it comes to 3D printing, if you give them both the same set of plans and the same tool, it's going to be the same item, which means there's no skill involved.
Yeah, and I think what I've been hearing mainly the argument is,
oh, you got to have to learn how to use and maintain your 3D printer and blah, blah. That's not the skill we're talking about. We're talking about a 3D printer that works. We're not talking about a 3D printer that doesn't work, right? We're talking about two operational printers.
Yeah.
It's not a skill.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of items out there, too. Like, I've worked in production-style things. And when you're doing that type of work, a lot of times you are just what's manipulating the medium and the machine is doing all
the
work.
What is that called? What is that called when you're in a factory and you're doing that? It's called something. What is it called?
Unskilled labor.
Unskilled labor. Correct?
It can be called that, yes.
It
is called that.
It's called unskilled labor.
Because... Well, and that's what they do is that they make, like, if you've ever seen, like, how even, like, with smithing, if you take an axe that's worked on a punch press, if you ever see them go, they'll have multiple heads on this press that keeps coming down every, like, 3 to 4 seconds it comes down. It just keeps going. It doesn't stop. And they come in and they'll hold it with a set of tongs, a certain size tong, and everything's figured out for them. Someone's skill went into the design of everything, but that specific worker is unskilled because they're, you know, head A goes into slot A to
right.
this, and it hits a depth stop. the drift comes down, drifts the hole, then they either flip it or whatever they have to do next, hit the next stop, comes down again, drifts that, then they flip it on its side, and then the next thing comes right. down and it hits it and it brings out the beer, like brings out the edge of the axe. Like that's
now if somebody else was standing on the outside of that and said, oh, I can make that too if I had that tool, could he make it? Yeah, because he had the tool to do that.
If he, yeah, with that tool, yes.
That's my argument with yeah. the 3D printer.
I know.
Then so that's all these people were getting upset. I'm sorry you're upset, but that's just what it is.
I get it. And why I think what's getting people upset is because...
You know what? I'm not sorry that you're upset. Because that's what it is.
I know. I'm just saying that what people are looking at least from my perspective, is just that when they started, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that the thing would work. And there was a lot of work that went into making the machine work. But if you can go to Thingiverse, or that's the only one I know of, but there's other ones where you can download the whole thing. And as long as you have an operational tool, it will make that thing.
Correct.
100%.
So you could make that too had that tool.
And part of, yeah.
Which was the argument.
Yes. And the other side of that argument was also the modeling side of it. But if you're given the model is the skill.
Right. But if somebody says...
The tool is still the tool.
Okay. But if somebody says... I could make that too. That already implies that the thing has been designed.
Yes.
Right? So I could make that too if I had that tool. You're not designing it. You're just making the thing. So if you have that tool, you can do it in 3D printing. I don't know that you can say that for a lot of other conventional tools. It's not a dig at DigiFab at all. But you could take somebody with a table saw, whether it be the best table saw or the worst table saw, you put two people head to head, it's not going to come out the same way. You do it with a 3D printer, it's going to come out the same way. If the file's already programmed, if I give somebody a set of plans to build from, it may not come out perfectly the same. If you use a 3D printer, it is. That's what it's designed to do.
Yeah. If you
And on top of that, you're not doing it. The 3D printer is doing it. You are not doing it.
The only time where you would get a different result on that item is if you were given, I want X built, and you gave another person that same X to build, and then two people go at it, they model it, and then you would have something different at the end, depending on their... Potentially. You could have the exact same thing if they model it the same way.
Yeah. If you say, I want a 2x2x2 cube, right, then your parameters are set. So they're either making a 2x2x2 cube or they're not with that 3D printer.
Yeah. If you were to say, I want a large vase, your shapes could be totally different. Your sizes could be, like, if you make it more general.
But that's not that. That is, I can make something like that, which is not the statement that prompted the whole discussion.
I got you. No,
then we got down the realm of, is a 3D printer your skill? And I don't believe it is. And this is where I think people get real sensitive about it.
No, I think the skill, and for me, the skill is the modeling side of it. If you've modeled it, the skill isn't the final product. The skill is the model that you made.
So I work for an engineering firm. If I engineer something, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody else builds a building, right? Based off of those engineering documents.
Right.
Am I now a builder? Or is that the building of that, the skill of the person who built it?
Well, I mean,
you can't call me, like, if I engineer an engine, right? And then an engine builder builds it, can I call myself an engine builder because I engineered it? That's not my skill.
No, I got you. I got you with that. Like, we run into that at work, because you'll have an engineer designs a plant, and we then have, you know, we have tradesmen that come in and do it. They have appreciable skill. They're red sealed tradesmen, and they come in and build it. You still have, like, it's a collaboration at that point because of how large the project is. You can't, it's like chicken or the egg kind of thing. You kind of have both. You can't have one without the other, because of the size of the project. I get what you're saying with the like an architect and and G now, and
hear me out.
Okay.
You as a blacksmith, right?
Yes.
Do you have skill if I give you a set of plans to make whatever I give you in the blacksmithing thing?
I would,
or whatever genre you're in.
Yeah, right? I would. Yeah, if we'll stick now, with blacksmithing to make it simple.
If you have a machine, take my plan and make that item. So the plan is not yours, but you're still making an item, right? Or the machine makes an item, and you're the guy who puts it in. Are you the item maker?
No.
Where's your skill?
No, you then become that unskilled labor. And I know that's going to burn people, but that's what it is in the terms of a manufacturing type thing. Like, you come in, you want something.
Now, I'm not saying there's not talent in design and stuff. Look at what Other Dog Designs is doing with his 3D printer, right?
Yeah.
He's on a whole nother level, right?
Yeah.
And I appreciate all the talent, but the actual item he made, or that was made from the 3D printer, right? Does he have the skill? Like, can you really say he made it? I know he did the design, and I'm not debating the design portion. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the physical item.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard guys talk about this before, where like you'll have an artist has a concept, has the design in their head, and then it's heavy metal work, maybe something that they don't have the skill set for, and then they you know, employ these tradespeople to build it. Like, that's
where's the skill? Is the skill in the tradespeople or is it in the artist?
Well,
the artist doesn't have the skill. The tradespeople have the skill. The artist has the concept, the theoretical portion, which is knowledge.
Gotcha.
The practical side,
I see what you're saying.
Which is the definition of skill, right?
Yeah.
Would be the tradesman. In that, I wouldn't say the artist had the skill to make it. I would say the tradesman had the skill to make it.
Yeah. Now, if they,
I'm not
now
digging
if
that, on DigiFab people. That wasn't the point of the argument last week.
No, it just happened to be the example that was used.
Yeah. Well, I think with a 3D printer is the only tool you can say, if I had that tool, I can make that too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have enough experience with any of them to really say, but you could get into that with like CNC items as well. Like,
yeah,
because you could get into like what some people are doing with a production style item. It's, you know, just say the item is 2 foot by 4 foot. It's a piece of ply.
I mean,
they carve whatever into it.
Agreed. But a 3D printer is essentially a CNC, right? A CNC just means it's computer numerically controlled.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's doing the same thing. It's following a guided path from the computer.
But from a standpoint of our conventional CNC, where it's reductive, right? Most things that we think of conventional CNCs, when we use the term CNC, we mean a reductive thing, right? So you're going to put in a piece of plywood, it's going to cut out a piece. That's what I mean by reductive.
Yep.
Right?
No, I'm with you.
Sometimes that's your finished item. Sure. And sometimes 3D printed parts could be assembled later as well. But there's a lot of 3D printed parts that are the final product, right?
Right.
And just because you can cut stuff out and then have to assemble it later, or print stuff out and have to assemble it later, that's not necessarily what I'm saying. But with a 3D printer, it could print one piece, final piece, done, right? Essentially, if you had that 3D printer, you could print it too.
Well, here's
I think that's the one time that statement holds true, is my point.
Yeah. So here's
it's
a prime
not a level of skill at that point.
Yeah. Here's a prime example. And I believe this is true, that if I went, so I'm buying that blower. And house has the cone that goes from the 6-inch down to 2-inch as a 3D printed item. And I believe you can purchase the plan from him. And as long as I have access to a 3D printer, I will get that cone from the end from that program.
Correct.
So that's like, he's done the modeling and the work part of it. I just need, I get the information and then I can go print it, as long as I have that tool. If I don't have that tool, basically it's what I'm going to have to do now, is I'm trying to find parts and pieces that will get me from the 6-inch opening down to the 2-inch opening that I have on my forge.
Right.
Which I'll have to finagle some stuff to do, but I'll get it done. But yeah, I see. I guess I think that's a good example of that, where with the tool, I can get that end result. And without the tool, I have to go down a different road to get the same end result.
Right. Which could happen. I believe some people could
well,
say...
Well, I'll get the same result, as in it will be a reducer from 6-inch to 2-inch. It will not look the same, and it will not... It will maybe perform the same, but it will not be the same material, the same shape. There will be many, many different things.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, it's an art. That's an argument we'll have to have Corey on, and he can argue his portion. But,
We'll debate it. We won't argue. Come on now.
Well, I mean, it's not a debate when it's a definition of the word. So,
yeah, I guess. I got you.
And they're like, oh, your argument falls flat because you need both. I never said you didn't need both to do anything. But the 3D printer has its own skill. It's not yours.
You need both in the concept of how a lot of people in the makerspace are using it, because a lot of people are designing what they're like. Maybe their first project is a Thingiverse thing. Then after that, then you've got people like, you know, Other Dog Designs, who then dig into it and start modeling and start scanning and really dig into it, make something more than your basic, like, when Chad made those knives, the little flip out knife, like,
yeah,
that was 100%. There's a plan on there. You buy it. I think he had to do some finish work, put some metal parts in it or whatever, but it's 100% that tool that got him to that spot.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm not saying people like Other Dog Designs aren't extremely talented. I could not do what they were doing, but if he gave me that plan, I could make that too.
With that tool.
Yeah. Yeah. With that tool. I'd have to have the same one he has, but yeah. I'm not saying there are innovative people out there breaking new ground. Right.
Yeah. No, and
that was never my argument ever.
I think that the argument falls flat when someone goes and they see, you know, what's considered a higher end maker here that they have a saw stop cabinet saw. And they'll be like, well, if I had that, I could do what they're doing. Well, yes, but then the same tables, I could probably do similar work if I took the time and, you know, set things up, and I'd have to build some stuff out so I could turn my saw that I have, which is just a standard Mastercraft Canadian Tire, you know, contractor saw with the right in and out feeds and all that kind of stuff. If I were to take the time to build all that, the saw performs the same. I mean, it may not be as strong, but as long as I know and have a skill set that allows me to put the wood into the saw and get a straight cut, I can perform the task. But I guess that's where you get what I'm saying. Like, that's where the argument of the tool falls flat, because
you mean you need skill to use a table saw? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to say.
You don't need skill to use a 3D printer. That's my point.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. There's all kinds of cases like that. Like, there, you get into a lot of production work can become that, where, I mean, yes, there would be times when you'll have to troubleshoot, you know, why did the tool run into the lathe, all that kind of stuff. Like, but you don't do that right off the hop. Like, you're not going to be, you run a tool into your lathe, and you're going to have a supervisor up your ass telling you what you did wrong.
Right.
After, you know, a certain amount of time, I don't know how long that would be. It might happen again, or it may never happen again, because you'll understand what's going on before it's about to happen, and you'll stop it. You know what I mean? So that's where there is skill sometimes in those jobs, but there's a lot of times, and that's accumulated over time. There's a lot of times when the first day on that job, like, there's no, the company that hired you to do it had no want or need for you to be an accomplished machinist, smith, whatever. They just need you to go in and put part A into machine A, hit
unskilled labor
and hit
that's what that's called.
I know. And that's
okay. All right. Just making sure. I'm just making sure we're all on the same page here.
I'm with you. I'm just saying. And that, but that's the argument is people will make. Is it then, you know, over time you'll pick up skills? Yes, you will. But the intent when you were hired was not that you were skilled. It was just that they needed the body to facilitate moving the object from A to B.
How many of these digital fabrication people get it because they could just have the labor in their shop working while they're doing other things, right?
Yeah.
So now that's your labor force. You're not doing it. It's not your skill set. That's my point. The actual work. Anyway, yeah. We'll save this for when Corey comes in because we're going to go down a dark path. If you're offended by it, let me know. Yeah. You know,
I feel like we hammered it out a little bit better this time. Weren't maybe as sheepish as we were the first time. Or at least I wasn't.
Yeah, or maybe I didn't get my point across that it all stemmed from, if I had that tool, I can make that too, which was the point.
Yeah.
The skills versus knowledge part came up later, but now that that's what everyone's focusing on, I think we hashed that out. Anyway,
yeah,
Noam Hammer's doing some pretty big things, huh?
Yeah, I was talking to him. He's got some stuff going on.
He's got some stuff going on, which I'm sure he'll release soon.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you can get in on the monthly raffle or waffle or however we're supposed to say it for a Noam Hammer hammer. If you're a patron of ours, you're already entered. If you're not and don't want to become a patron of ours, please be a patron of his.
Yes.
If you don't want to become a patron of his or ours, you can become a patron of Work For It Podcast. If you don't want to be a patron of anyone, but you still want in, you can buy tickets flat out for each month. Go to Noam Hammer Forge on Instagram, find out all the details.
Yeah, he's making some beautiful you're gonna see
Noam Hammer hammers everywhere soon, so get your chance to get in on one now. Any other parting words before we head out, Tony?
No, I think I'm good. I think we've hammered out a few things.
Yeah. You have a year. Start making your plans to see us at Maker Camp next year. Experience that butterfly effect for yourself. It's a special event. It's a special place to be. Special people. Regenerate your love of making, being part of the community. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram or Working Hands 3 on TikTok. If you'd like to send us an email, it is workinghandspodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave a 5-star rating, that would be awesome. A 5-star review would be epic. Or share the show with all of your friends every week. That's a huge help for us. With that, we're heading to the after show. We will talk to you next week, not about skills versus knowledge. Later.
Later.